Session 86, September 9, 1964. The Early Sessions, Book 3, The Seth Material. Rob notes, while trying psychological time on Wednesday, September 9, I had, after reaching a pleasant state, the rather strange sensation of having my legs pulled or stretched, as though some force was trying to elongate them. I felt rather strongly a sensation of gripping on the inside of each ankle, coupled with the downward pull or stretching. It had some duration also. I had plenty of time to lightly explore the sensation. Bill McDonald arrived to witness the session. With him, he brought some rolls of copper sheeting for our table and incense and a burner. Both of these items, Jane had read recently, had been shown to be useful in psychic states by adding negative ions to the air. A negatively charged atmosphere has been shown to effectively increase one's psychic abilities. I thought the copper insufficient in quantity, but we unrolled it upon the table and lit the incense. Its pleasant, musty smell filled the room. I thought the trappings might bring forth some rather pungent comments from Seth, but kept my own counsel. Jane was not nervous before the session. She began dictating in a quiet and amused voice quite slowly. Her pacing was also slow, her eyes dark as usual. Seth, good evening. Rob, good evening, Seth. Seth, I appreciate the many and varied preparations made this evening for my expected arrival. Next, you will undoubtedly suggest that I pose, contemplate what might pass for my navel, carve a likeness, and set it up in the middle of your table. I do not seriously imagine that you would entertain such a ludicrous idea, but the situation certainly contains humorous overtones, and it would not be like me to let anything like this pass without comment. My welcome to Mark, with his enthusiastic good intentions. Nor indeed is the idea behind all this ridiculous in any manner. Good intentions are highly important, and what you think will work, will work. Rob notes, it might be added that this evening it had rained, and now the night was very hot and humid. The windows were open. From a neighbor's house some distance away, we could hear a phonograph playing, the sound carrying clearly on the heavy air. Traffic noise also seemed much louder than usual. Jane, dictating, seemed to carry her head at an unusual angle, as though listening. Her delivery was, by now, very slow. Seth. I would like to discuss some material that we have left unfinished, making certain that you understand that there are chemical and electrical reactions resulting from mental enzymes that are also present in the process of constructing psychic energy into physical construction. There are interactions here of utmost importance. For simplicity's sake, you may say that ideas are electric, in that they spark enzymes within the mechanism that then automatically begin the work of physical construction in line with inner expectations as outlined earlier. I have spoken of mental enclosures. Theoretically, there is no such thing as a closed system. However, for all practical purposes, a closed mental system is one which allows the least amount of camouflage data to come through. It is not closed entirely, but nevertheless, it could be said to approximate, in psychic terms, the enclosure within which your so-called mediums work, that is, with a minimum of camouflage communication at hand. Rob notes, Seth began referring to mental enclosures, mental enzymes, etc., many, many sessions ago. At the same time, he began to give the information on the inner senses. By the time the 20th session was held, these discussions of such material were in full swing. Seth, this end would then represent the extension of the self outward toward the physical universe. This extension, as I have mentioned, is theoretically endless. The world of inner reality would then be imagined as existing at the other end of this tube. And in the same manner, at one end of the tube would represent the extension of the self into the world of physical reality. Then so too would the other end of this tube represent the extension of the self into the inner world of reality. Rob notes, again, as it has done quite often in recent sessions, Jane's voice turned abruptly deeper and retained some of its heavier timbre for a while. Seth, now using the analogy again, in our mental enclosure, we attempt to close off this channel of communication with the outer universe. So, this end we leave open. Now, this is what you attempt when you experiment with psychological time, when your communication comes through the inner rather than the outer senses. And all living consciousnesses initially enter your plane of awareness by route of such a mental enclosure. All psychic energy comes through such a mental enclosure. Now, we are leading up to a point. You remember, I am sure, that I spoke of extension and contraction, along with other discussions on the inner senses, communication with the inner self. Communication with entities on another level can be approached from one or the other of two methods. The approaches are different, and one is more often tried than the other. I suggest your break. Rob notes, break 927, Jane was dissociated, she said, but not too much of a degree. The neighbor's photograph bothered her, she said, and so did the traffic noise. It was the first time she could remember that any outside influences had made themselves felt while she was dictating. Jane resumed in a voice a little deeper, but still with her very slow delivery at 9:31. Seth, now it is only the initial approach which varies. Extension of energy must have contraction as an after effect, and contraction will lead to extension. Therefore, if you begin in an attempt to contact your consciousness and energy in the hopes of attaining communication with inner reality, then indeed will your consciousness, closed and contracted like a tight fist, open and expand. And if you seek to communicate by expansion of consciousness, then will this expansion come crushing and closing upon itself. The end can be achieved in either manner. Concentration upon one minute, limited, contracted object will result in consciousness expansion. For have I not said that within even the molecule, the atom, there exists capsule comprehension? A mental enclosure cannot be seen or touched, yet no man is ever within a mental enclosure but that he is alone. Here you seek not equalization of pressure, but a delicate, even precarious instability of pressures. No creativity arises from an evenness of pressure, but in constantly changing, new instability, ever seeking to achieve a balance. This mental enclosure can be thought of as somewhat of a manufacturing plant from which all material manifestations must come. The products that make up the form come through another entrance. I'm going to make this a short session. There are some reasons for this. The outside distractions from the street, for the first time it seems, are keeping Rupert at a level of consciousness which is not quite adequate for my delivery of the discussion that I had in mind. It may be significant that such distractions did not bother him until he read that they were supposed to. There is a reason also in that a deeper state of consciousness is sometimes needed when the upper level of his subconscious is concerned, as it still is since he gave notice at the gallery. Usually we have little difficulty in achieving a deeper state in compensation. Tonight, however, a really satisfactory state was not reached. Considering the rather difficult material I had planned to give you, a note here. Of course, experimentation on your own will benefit. I will now bring the session to a close, regretfully, and despite the incense and copper so thoughtfully presented. Indeed, under such circumstances, they could prove beneficial, although with all good respects for what you have in mind, you would have to literally line the walls with copper in this room. The negative ions are of help, but you could not produce such conditions. But the attempt to produce advantageous conditions is in itself a help in any case. A most fond and regretfully early good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. End at 9:55.